and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.
Glorified.
What a joyous occasion we celebrate today. The incarnation of God. God taking on flesh and coming to us. The invisible becoming visible. The King of heaven coming down to earth so that he might bring us from earth to heaven. So that he might bring us into his kingdom. The kingdom of life eternal. What a joyous day it is, brothers and sisters. And it's a time for us to be renewed in our Christian faith, to have a recommitment to Christ as not only the Savior of the world, but also the Savior of each and every one of us. We read in the Gospel reading how Herod, when he heard the wise men coming to see this Christ child, became afraid. He was troubled. And it says in the scriptures that it wasn't just Herod, but it was all of Jerusalem with him. All of the officials of the city, both those of the Romans and also those of the Jews. They were troubled and greatly afraid. And why? Wasn't this the one, at least on the part of the Jews, that they were anticipating? That they were getting ready for, the one who the prophets had foretold, the one who would fulfill the law of Moses, not just in letter, but in spirit, the one that would lift his people from their abasement, raise them from the dead. It was with fear that Jerusalem welcomed the Savior. And Christ knew that this would happen, and he came incarnate. Not as an adult, with strength and power and wisdom, but he came as a little child, with innocence and simplicity and purity. He came in the way that would be the least of all threats to them. He came born as a little child. A defenseless child, born not in a home, but in a cave, laid among animals. He came in great humility. And it was this humility that characterized his whole life. He was raised in obscurity, the so-called son of a carpenter. He accepted baptism from one of his servants. And this person, who was filled with such great power, used his power only to the glory of God. He was humble even in the great works that he performed. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, movement to those who were paralyzed. He exorcised demons. He calmed the storms and the seas, had power over nature. He multiplied the loaves. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead, calling them from their tombs, and all in humility. He was entirely selfless. He did nothing for himself. Not even self-defense. Remember how he ended his life. He was spit upon, mocked, scourged, struck in the face, beaten, and crucified. And while being crucified, he prays to his heavenly Father for the forgiveness of those who are putting him to death. Naked on the cross, what great humiliation he suffered, what great humility he exemplified. We see this perfect love that he has for us. That he will come to be with us even when we reject him because of our fear of him. But why fear him when he has come to give us so much? Why this fear? We can understand Herod, perhaps. He was afraid that this King of Kings would overthrow his reign. But why would the Jews fear him? What was it that they feared? I submit to you, it's that he would turn the world upside down. This one who had come as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, who would establish a New Testament in his blood, the one who would divide time from before Christ to after Christ in the year of our Lord, AD, this person would turn the world upside down. And change is what we fear the most. He challenged the established order. You might say he challenged the established disorder. Because when he turned the world on its head, he turned it right side up. Things were wrong in the world. And he came to correct it. The world was suffering and dying. And he came to heal and restore it. When he turned the world upside down, he welcomed those who were despised in society, the sinners, tax collectors, harlots, and they all sat at his table. They dined with him. They listened to his teaching. They embraced him. He identified himself with the least of the brethren, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, those who are sick or in prison, the outcasts. He said to the crowds, to his disciples, he said, "The last shall be first and the first shall be last. The greatest among you shall become the least of all. The master shall become the servant. The glorious upon the earth shall be brought down. The humble shall be exalted. The poor shall be called blessed." He warned the rich and the powerful not to exchange the kingdom of God with an earthly kingdom. He confounded the scribes and the Pharisees, showing their teaching to be false because he is the truth. He was unafraid of Caesar, and he offered not a word in his own defense. And yet the crowd said, "No one has ever spoken like this man. Who will perform more wonders and works than this man? We have never seen it happen like this before. God has visited his people. Emmanuel, God with us." And then because of this fear that should have been set aside based upon the teachings and the works of Christ, this fear actually increased among the Jewish authorities and the Romans. And they formed an unholy alliance. It was said, "You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." That was said of the Jews, but it can also apply to the Romans. Christ was a threat to them and to what they had fashioned, what they had formed, or rather deformed. And the Lord said, speaking right to the heart of the matter, "God knows your hearts, and that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Because in the heart of man was power, the love of riches, pleasures, status, and earthly security." This is what Christ found in the heart of men. But ironically, paradoxically, mysteriously, Christ didn't come to take the earth from us. That's not why he came. And all of these things, power, riches, pleasure, status, earthly security, etc., it's all actually lost anyway. These were things we couldn't hold on to no matter how hard we tried. And generation after generation, the human race tried to hold on to these things, to not only seek after them and accumulate them and hoard them and protect them. All of these things were lost. Christ didn't come to take them because he cares nothing for them. So what is the fear then? Is it the fear of losing sickness, losing disease, corruption, and death? Because Christ did come to take these things from us. Are we fearful because of that? He takes away all the bodily afflictions of men. Perhaps the fear is on the side of the soul, that we'll lose our pride, our greed, our lust, our envy, our jealousy, our despair, our self-pity. Perhaps we'll lose these things. Well, Christ did come to take these away from us, because this is what leads not just to the death of the body, but to the death of the soul, to the loss of ourselves and our eternal destiny, of joy and peace in the kingdom. Christ did come to take these away. He did come to change the world. But he changes it with this great humility that marked everything about him. That change was never by force. The one who had the power to heal, could have healed his army. He could have fed his army on the bread he would multiply. He could have raised up the dead soldiers. He could have taken the world by force. And yet he doesn't, because his kingdom is not of this world. He offers entrance into that kingdom freely, for us to, by choice, prefer that over nothing else. He comes to change the world, turning it upside down, by changing each and every one of us, one by one, by turning us upside down. And again, not upside down, but right side up. This is the mystery of the church. The continued presence of Christ on earth. This is what the church does. It seeks to turn the world upside down, right side up, by healing and saving each and every one of us. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of renewal, time of recommitment, time of understanding and knowledge of who Christ is, what he's doing for us. It's a time for us not to be filled with fear any longer, but as the scriptures say, to serve him without fear in righteousness and purity, all the days of our life. To know him as our Father who loves us, who's taking away every evil thing and giving every good thing. But each and every one of us has to make that choice. What do we do when we encounter the incarnate God? When we're faced with fear, there's a choice. What's the choice that's often given? Fight or flight? Can we fight against this God? Can we win? The answer is obviously no. Can we flee from him? Can we run? Can we hide? The one who dwells everywhere, filling all things, both in heaven and on earth, and even under the earth. Christ is there as God. We can't flee from him. But brothers and sisters, we should not want to fight him. We should not want to flee from him. We should embrace him and welcome him. This is what's open to us as we remember the Lord's birth according to the flesh, as we remember that God has become man for us and for our salvation, as we give thanks to him in the church, the place of his continued presence, the place where we're set aright. Brothers and sisters, this is a joyous day. Let us be renewed. Let us be recommitted. Christ is born. Amen.